Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tan, if you just said something, I couldn't hear you. I can't hear you. No. It's saying that you're connected. You're not connected to the audio.
Okay, let me know if you ladies can hear me now.
Can hear you.
Hey, TJ.
Hey. I'm reading your lips. I'm like, no, I can't hear you.
I know everybody like, where's Sister Barbara at? Well, y'all, she wasn't available today, so she contacted me last night and asked me if I can fill in for. So it was a last minute.
Get my tape, mommy.
I hear you too, DJ.
Say hi.
All right. Everybody doing okay so far?
Yes, ma'am.
No, mommy.
Yes, doing great.
Hey, Naima, so you can hear me now.
Yeah, loud and clear.
Right? Look, I was wondering. Okay. We'll give it just a little bit more. There are people that are still joining right now. I know it's right at 11. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and get started, and then I admit people as they start to come in. Okay. So like I said, Sister Barbara, she wasn't available today. So definitely, she called me last night, filling in, and we're going to go with the flow, ladies. Okay, there go Melanie. Hey, Melanie.
Hey, good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies.
Okay. I asked the Lord last night, just kind of wanted to know what is it that he wanted me to speak about. I know it's been along the lines of honoring the Father, which has been some really good teachings the last few weeks. And I wanted to share, teach about a personal experience or a testimony that happened to me, and definitely share it in the teaching. And I think it will be a blessing for all of us, especially in the times that we're in the season. God is calling us to maturity. The maturity of the faith. And so, as we become saints, he'll start to show us not just the big sins, that you're in, that's easy to stop, the fornication and lying and, those big sins. But there are those small sins as well that we may consider small, but God looks at it as a grave danger. And one of it is about controlling our tongue, being able to bridle our tongue, especially in these last days, is going to be a lot of it's a lot of accuser of the brethren, like the scripture tells us. And so, you know, we definitely want to learn about bridling that tongue. So that's just something that I wanted to speak about and teach about today. And just to give a quick background, I came to the Lord about almost 7 years ago, and it was kind of, I'll say it was through the internet. So the internet can be used for good things, not just for the, you know, the bad things that people use it for. So I was on YouTube one day, and I saw a message or a video of a lady that stated, no, simply put, if you say that you're a Christian, then you must be born again. And that was my first time hearing anything about being born again, anything about, you know, truly about salvation. I was always brought up with the thought that once you're saved, you're always saved. So live any way you want, because once you're saved, you're always saved. And it don't matter the state that you die in, you're going to make it into the kingdom. So that was really a blessing and an eye-opener for me, who was living like hell, you know, at that time, a child of wrath, and being able to just hear the truth. And when you hear truth, you know it. You know, when somebody tell you, now you know that you're wrong. You know that the way that you living, you know, fornicating and, you know, out here in these streets, you, when you hear the truth and you know already inside that the way you're living is wrong, you're, most of the time you're going to resonate with it, or you're going to walk over the truth. And if you walk over that truth, then, you know, God is like, I presented it to you, but you stepped away from it. And so, you know, just over the years, been walking with the Lord and truly seeking his face. And I tell you, it's been an adventure. It's been a joy. And I'm just so happy, really, truly, ladies, to be born again. I'm going to tell you, I'm just so happy to be born again, because I know the life that I came from, and I know where he saved me from. And I do not want to go back to that. You know how it talks about a pig wallowing in a mirror or a dog going back to his vomit. And I say, no, no, Lord, no. So I just want to go on with the Lord and see what he's calling all of us to do, because we're all called to do something. In these last days, you know, the Bible says for us to be wise and know what the will of the Lord is. And so we want to know what his will is for our lives and do it. I definitely believe that once we begin to do what it is that God is calling us to do, we'll flourish in it. You know, his word says that he'll perfect that which concerns us. And so it's a blessing once we begin to walk in the calling of God, you know, whatever he's called you to, because it'll start to flourish. And he will anoint that because he called you to it. So we are just many members, and we make up one body. And so I'm just telling you, just, you know, rejoice in the Lord, continue on in him, and don't let anybody take you off the path. You know, this, it's not easy path, but it's a blessing, you know, when you are being led by him and you're truly seeking his face. And he knows your heart, you know, and he knows what we're all standing in the need of, and he'll meet every need if we just stick with him and truly honor him and accept him as our father. So it's been a blessing, and I just thank God for it. And, you know, like I said, I wouldn't step away from it for the world. You know, when we hear about the circle of life, when Pastor Price was talking about how we could have avoided everything all on the outside and just came in sooner. And I say, Lord, I should have got saved sooner. I'm happy I got, you know, saved. But if it would have been sooner, I really feel like I could have done what I needed to do, like Stephen, you know, and gone with the Lord. My job here is done. And we're all here to do a job, and we want to figure out what it is, and we want to get on that right path, you know, so that we can, like I said, go on with the Lord. And so what I want to talk about today, the teaching is called The Sin of Evil Speaking, which is very important, because a lot of times we don't know when we're involved in evil speaking. We don't know when we are just our words. And you know, the word of God says that we can either produce life or death. Life and death is in the power of our tongue. And so we truly want to choose our words. You know, a lot of us are seeking to be filled or baptized, you know, more with the Holy Spirit. But we got to yield our tongue to him. So sometimes if we have an unruly tongue, or if our tongue is an unruly member, sometimes that could be the issue as well. So we're just not sure, you know, what's stopping us from going on in him. We're not sure what's holding us back. But, you know, like I said, we want to go on in the Lord, and we want to learn those things that we think is small. A lot of sin that we're involved in, you know, you have sin of omission, you have sin of commission, you have, you know, a presumptuous sin where you presume God is telling you to do something. A lot of sin that we're involved in, you have your big sin, but then you have sin that you're not even aware of. So it's good when light is presented to us, you know, through the word of God, and we're able to repent and turn away from those things. So, like I said, the name of this teaching is the sin of evil speaking, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you all. I pray that we will learn something, you know, that you all will learn something from it. I have Bible study notes written down for this as well, so I can share that offline with you all, you know, with the scriptures, just so you will know. But it's also good to have your pen and your pad and begin to write, you know, as I share. So I'm going to pray, and then we can get into it. Father God, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for everybody, Lord, that's joining this meeting. Heavenly Father, I bind up every work of the flesh, all flesh, Lord God, that wants to be seen, all affectation, Father God. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will anoint your word, Lord, that you will anoint the teaching that's coming forth, Father God, and that you will allow this to convict, Lord God, or enlighten those that need to understand what your word is saying. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for being able to just enter into your presence as a father. You are our father, and you said we are accepted and a beloved, and most importantly, we can cry out, Abba, Father. And we just rejoice today, Lord God, to know you and to have a relationship with you, Father God, and to know, Lord, if there's anything in us that's not like you, when you put your finger on it, Lord God, it's time for us to confess and repent. And we just rejoice right now, Lord, knowing that your word is true. And it is a two-edged sword. And Father God, we want to stand on your word, Lord, so we can grow in your truth and in your grace, Lord. And we bind up all distractions. We bind, Father God, anything that the enemy will try to do to the communication lines. I bind, Father God, any interference, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Let your word go forth, Heavenly Father, and let it be grace to the hearers. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so like I said, definitely talking about the sin of evil speaking. And evil speaking is very, very interesting, because with evil speaking, sometimes you don't know that you're involving yourself in evil speaking. But the scripture tells us that when we do such things as speaking evil of others, that this grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, we're supposed to be vessels of God and filled with his spirit. Now, we truly don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, right? We want to be filled with his spirit and used by him. So anything that causes us to grieve his spirit, of course, is definitely a sin in the eyes of God. So let's go to Ephesians 4, 25 to 31. Ephesians 4, 25 to 31. I have my... you know, my study Bible here, but then I also, this is KJV, but I also want to read it. I want to read it from the Amplified version. So Ephesians 4, 25 to 31 says, "Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So it's interesting in these this last verse, he's telling us, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. So we're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And if we're involving ourselves in these sins that are listed here, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, and it's interesting how they're grouped together. So sometimes, and we'll get to that when it's evil speaking, there may be an underlying fact of bitterness there. But we're commanded here to put it away from us with all malice. So these sins are telling us these are sins that we can commit, like I said, which grieves the Holy Spirit. And to grieve the Holy Spirit means to cause distress, to be sad, heaviness, be sorrowful, or make sorry, or cause grief. So as we see, the book of Ephesians, it's not written to people that are in the world, it's written to the saints. It starts out, I believe, in chapter 1, where it says the saints at Ephesians in the faithful in Christ Jesus. So that's us. That's us who say, you know, I believe, I'm a Christian, and so I'm faithful in Jesus Christ. And that's who he, addressed this book to. He started it out with that, the faithful in Christ Jesus, and to the saints which are at Ephesians. So we're given, you know, a list of sins whereby here, like I said, we may grieve the Holy Spirit, but the one that we really want to circle in on today is the sin of evil speaking. And the reason why I want to circle in on this is because, you know, how the Word of God is a two-edged sword. And it most of the time has to cut us first before we can even understand it, make it practical in our life, and then be able to share it with others. So God would send you through a situation, you know, through a circumstance where you can understand exactly what his word is saying. And then you'll be able to go out and teach others after you've experienced whatever you've gone through. So just to give a quick note of what evil speaking is to relate the fault of a third person. So relate the fault of someone else when they aren't present to answer for themselves. So how often have we, you know, you've noticed people who slander and defame the character of others? There's normally no proof for the slander. And then what is spoken or shared is not normally, when you're sharing it, it's not shared out of concern or for you to pray for the individual. But normally it's to condemn. And then that normally leads to gossiping and backbiting. And how many of us know that gossiping and backbiting is a sin? You know, that shouldn't even be amongst the body of Christ, but it is. So, it definitely, the evil speaking, it will lead to that gossiping and backbiting. So to relate the fault of someone else, there's one thing if I have a sister or a brother in the Lord who comes to me, they confide, you know, in me about something. Well, they're confiding in me about what they're going through to confide in me. So they have trust that I will not go back and tell others, you know, or defame their character. Even if we stop talking, they trusted me enough to know I will not defame their character or go back and share what they've given me to others. But normally either the Holy Spirit or, that individual that's going through something will share with you what they're going through for you to pray for them, not for us to go back and tell other people or, you know, go back and say, girl, let me tell you about, you know, this, that, and the other. And you're not, you know, like we Wendy Williams. Now, Wendy Williams get paid millions of dollars, I'm sure, to gossip. So she's here on earth and she's gossiping. She's character assassinating. She's defaming people. And she's getting paid for that. The devil's paying her heavy to do what the Bible tells us not to do. And it's not just Wendy Williams, it's, you know, all these talk show syndicates, you know, they're sitting up there coffee, tea, everything looking pretty, and they gossiping. And gossip has become so commonplace in our society that nobody bats an eye at it. Nobody, you know, second guess and say, you know what, you know, I don't think we should be saying this, or, you know, this is backbiting. There is no, like if you hear about somebody doing a grave, or what we consider a grave sin, adultery, or, you know, fornication, a true Christian might bat their eye at that and say, now that's sin, that's out of order. But if we hear somebody gossiping or speaking evil of somebody, that has become so commonplace in our society, you know, that you don't bat an eye to it. But that's still a sin in the eye of God. And like it tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, evil speaking grieves the Holy Spirit. So that's a problem. And we want to definitely address that and search our hearts and see if any of that is in us. So normally, like I said, a lot of people are loose with their lips, saying words with no thought. And information is spread in a lot of ways. You know, you have phone conversations, television, magazines, personal conversations, you know, face-to-face, social media, newspapers, through books, etc. So even through all these outlets that the devil has designed for information to be spread, we have to be on alert and aware of evil speaking. You know, we have to be mature in Christ, and we have to truly make sure that we are not involving ourselves, you know, in slander, slandering our sister and our brother in the Lord. Because even if it's not a sister and brother in the Lord, slandering, period. You know, by every idle word will be judged, and by every word will be condemned. And so we want to make sure that we are not, you know, involving ourselves or coming in agreement with that sin. And so in 1 Peter, and you can turn there if you like, 1 Peter 2:1, we're told, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. So the Bible is very clear, you know, that we're supposed to, you know, lay it all aside. So how did I get here? You know, what made me want to share this with you all today? Like I said, clearly this is something that cut me as a two-edged sword. And I had to actually go through, you know, with the Lord for me to share the testimony with others. So a few months ago, I say I was out with a friend. And the friend had shared some information with me about someone that there was no concrete evidence, okay? And so right after we left, I get on the phone and I shared what was told to me, not as if I'm sharing it, you know, hey, we need to pray for this person, but I shared it as a fact. Hey, did you know that this person is involved in, you know, this particular sin? I didn't have any evidence. I didn't know. It was given to me. And then I gave it to somebody else. Now you see how quickly that spread. And then the person that I was on the phone with, who I shared it with, said, man, I can't believe he's doing all that. And we on the phone, next thing I know, yeah, he doing this and that and out here. And, you know, we're just really talking bad about the individual. But neither one of us had facts about if it was true. And neither one of us tried to reach out to him and say, hey, you know, comfort, you know, that your sister or brother in Christ. It was just shared as a fact. And we, let somebody into the room. It was shared as a fact. And we just left it at that. So anyway, that night, I, you know, always try to, you know, enter into nighttime prayer. I was trying to enter into prayer, and it was like there was a wall there, a barrier. Now, normally I can break through, and, you know, at first I said, this devil is really on my back. He does not want me to break through in prayer. And I kept praying. I tried to pray in the spirit. I put on praise and worship music. I couldn't break through. The next day, I tried to enter into prayer. It just, It was like something was there that I could not break through in prayer. And so the third day, I was sitting down and I read my Bible. And I got to Ephesians chapter 4, like, you know, where we started out here. And then when I was reading it about evil speaking, when I said it, I felt something tugging in me. And normally when that happens, the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on that particular thing. And he wants you to deal with it right then and there before you can go on. He's telling you that's in you and you need to address it. So, you know, I went through and prayed and I addressed it. And then you even have to administer self-deliverance on yourself by casting out that spirit, because spirits are associated with gossiping and evil speaking. So after I went through all of that, I said, well, how did I mean, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I've been seeking you and things like that, and I have a relationship with you. Now, how did I get involved with this? And that's when, you know, that's when God showed me that evil speaking. And, you know, it was definitely an eye-opener for me and a testimony. And so some of the things that we just don't think about, being loose at the tongue. You know, we heard the saying, I'm sure everybody heard this saying, loose lips sink ships. Well, that's true. Because if your mouth is running like a water faucet, and you telling everything that people tell you, first you shared like you're praying, knowing that you wasn't going to pray for the person. You're just sharing it to be messy, like they used to say in the world. And that's a problem. And that's a two-edged sword, because you're being affected by the devil. He has a door hold, a foothold to you because of the sin. But then also the person that you're talking about, you're wounding them. So nobody's winning but the devil, you know, in this case. And so God really, he took me through, and that was a lesson for me. And from that moment on, I really had to be careful with my words. You know, like I said, we choose our words carelessly. Sometimes we don't think before we speak. I know how it is, because we have people that the devil used to drive us to the edge and make us want to, what we call, pop off. You know, you say, I'm about to go off on the lips, so I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, you know. But that's not it. Not if you're a child of God. And that's where I believe temperance comes in, and self-control, you know, and the fruits of the spirit. Because if not, you're going to be going off on everybody, because the devil going to use everybody to get you there, you know. He's going to use people to hurt you and to talk bad about you and to do all type of things. And then you're going to be popping off at the lips, and you ain't going to never be able to bridle your tongue. So that's something that he's dealing with us about, you know, in the body. Because in the body of Christ, if one person is affected, all of us are affected, because we're many members of one body. So we can't make it a one-man show. If I have a sister that is being affected through evil speaking, or somebody is gossiping about them, or rumors, or anything, then at what point do I, you know, not say, you know, it has to stop at somebody. It can't, the wheel just can't keep turning. You know, somebody has to be mature in the Lord to know what to do and how to handle when somebody brings it your way. So Titus 3:1-2 tells us to put them in mind, to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, and to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. God said a woman in his eyes has a quiet and a meek spirit. And I'm still praying about that, because I have times I do where I get in the flesh and I say, you know what? I thought that old man was dead and he's still hanging around somewhere. There is still some flesh there, you know, and it has to die off. Because that the two can't, you know, you can't have, you know, you're trying to be a new man, but then you're pulling back into that old man when somebody pull you out there into the world. No, he has to die. The old man has to die. And so we have to be careful, seriously, of our words, how we respond back to people. And that's why I said that gentle and a quiet and meek spirit, that is a great price, in the eyes of the Lord. And that takes time. You know, people make it seem like, you know, it comes overnight. No, it takes time. And God will send you through situations to know or to see if you're there or not. And so when I went through this months ago and I couldn't break through, guess what? I knew I wasn't there. So in Isaiah, we're told, I think it's Isaiah 59:2. We're told, surely, I'm going to read it from the Berean Study Bible version. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have built barriers between you and your God. And that's what I felt. You know how I said I was trying to pray, I couldn't break through? Like I kept hitting against something? That barrier, a barrier is like a wall. So God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's sitting right there on the other side of that wall. But my sin and my iniquities, you know, evil speaking, built a barrier between me and God. And I couldn't break through. And I didn't know why, you know. And so it says, your iniquities have built barriers between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. He done dwell with sinners, and he don't allow sin into his presence or into his kingdom. And anywhere, you know, sometimes we can think that since we're born again or we're saved that, you know, I'm good, you know, you can get self-righteous. But you got to do a self-check every day, because once you think that you've arrived, Apostle Paul said, take heed lest you fall, right? When we never know when we've fallen, and we never know when we are grieving the Holy Spirit. And so we really have to be careful, and we have to truly check, like I said, even our words. By our words, we will be justified, and by our words, we'll be condemned. And so we want to be careful. So it says in Isaiah 59:2, verse 2, but your iniquities have built barriers between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So I was trying to break through in prayer, but he couldn't hear me. Like I said, and there was that barrier, there was that wall. Verse 3 says, for your hands are stained with blood and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies and your tongue mutters injustice. So there you go right there with me, right, with that evil speaking. Your lips have spoken lies, because I didn't know if what was shared with me was true or not, but I shared it with somebody else like it was a fact. Amen. So my lips have 9 times out of 10 spoken lies, and my tongue muttered injustice. And then at night, I'm sitting before the Lord. I remember it like it was yesterday, trying to break through in prayer and can't break through. Now I'm blaming an outside devil, which is normally the case, but the devil was in me. Because I'm the one that opened up my mouth, you know, and involved myself in evil speaking. And so that's how grave that sin can be. But it also shows how slick the devil is. And he is a cunning foe, you know. He's waiting. He is truly like, he's waiting for us to open up that door. And he'll take a foothold, a door hold, even a finger hold. He don't care. He just need a way in. So I did a study, you know, a deep study on this. And there are spirits that are actually associated with the sin of evil speaking. There is a book, I always looking, you know, at the deliverance aspect of anything, because I mean, we are called to be deliverers. So I always look at the deliverance aspect. I know everything is spiritual. So there has to be, like Derek Prince taught us, gangs of spirits that's operating with that spirit. So then when I went to, I have a book called Demon Hit List, and that's by John Eckert. It's a good book, you know, especially like I said, if you're in deliverance, which we're all called to do, then you want to, it's good to know the type of spirits that group together. And that's what that book does. It gives you a group and a spirit that actually work together. So with evil speaking, the two main spirits that it was associated with, along with others under it. The first one is backbiting. So under backbiting, you have lying, malice, slander, gossip, criticism, abuse, strife, whispering. 2 Corinthians 12 and 20 tells us about whispering. Envy. A lot of times when people are backbiting, they're envy. Jealousy. You know, that goes together with the envying. Anger. Bitterness. Competition. And, of course, evil speaking. So what happens is, and when I picked up from here, just under backbiting, is that a lot of people are their jealousy and their envy, or their anger, bitterness, a root of bitterness. You know, the Bible tells us a root of bitterness will spring up and defile many. If we are not careful, especially in the body of Christ, something can be said, and if we take it the wrong way, we will, and if we don't go to the Lord about it first, you know, let him clean you up so you don't go off the deep end, you will take what was said, be offended, and then from there it will be a root of bitterness. It's a root. Bitterness is a root, but then from that is anger. And because you're offended by that particular person, now you have unforgiveness. So that's another root, you know, from that tree, unforgiveness. And if you continue in the unforgiveness, you have hatred, and then anger, and murder, and then evil speaking. And it flows from there, because all those spirits are associated together. Now, the other spirit that's tied to evil speaking is slander. Slander. Slander, under slander, is defamation, character assassination, accusation, cursing, libel, false report, lying, accuser of the brethren, malice, spite, bitterness. So there is bitterness again. Anger, hatred, evil speaking. It's tied to both of that. So a lot of times, you don't know why someone is bringing something to you, speaking evil of someone else. There could be a root of bitterness there. And that root of bitterness wants to get you in with them, and it's springing up to defile you. So we got to be very careful with our words and who we, you know, what people say to you. Now, I'm not saying go crazy with somebody coming to you, get out of my face, I ain't trying to hear you. No, you don't have to do it like that. But there's a way that you can gracefully get people out your, you know, hey, I'm not with that. You get what I'm saying? I talked to an elder from Omega Ministries one time, and this was like 2 years ago, and she would call me to check on me, and I, you know, said something to her, and then the conversation, you know, it was like I was trying to take it there. You know, I was still learning in Christ. And so I was trying to take it there where I'm talking about somebody. And she said, oh, no. She said, well, I don't do gossiping. She said, I stopped that right at the door. Now, I could have got offended. But, you know, in my head, I'm like, dog, she a G. You know, she, I don't like she said that. That's how I should be, you know, because I always told myself when I got born again, and the elders, you know, people that are older than I, they've been in this thing for a while. Let me link up with them and see what they got going on, because they know the way. I don't, you know. So God calls the old because they know the way, and the young because they're strong. But if you don't have that eldership and a leadership to tell you the right way, then I really feel like, you know, you'll go off that deep end. So for her to tell me that, and that was a rebuke. But I didn't get offended. I didn't let a root of bitterness spring up in me. When we got the phone, I said, dang, God, I like how she said that. You know, she's straightforward. That's how I need to be. And then that, you know, that started working in me. And from that moment on, when I talked to her on the phone, you know, it wasn't in me to even try to bring up anything that could lead to gossiping. And we can have a peer conversation, you know, checking on each other and different things like that. So I appreciate her for saying that, you know, to me and basically rebuking me and putting me in my place, because sometimes you don't know. So in the book of Timothy, it's interesting because we're warned about the signs of the last days. And one of those signs in the last days is there will be false accusers. I was reading last night you know, when Jesus was being judged, and I will have to find a scripture, but they said they couldn't, at first they couldn't find any false witnesses against him. But then they found, I believe, two false witnesses. And so that's amazing, because even Jesus had people that falsely, they were false witnesses against him. And that same spirit is around right now. It hasn't went anywhere. Even that Pharisee, Sadducee, they always try to hang him up or catch him or, you know, find something that he said or did or didn't do so they can accuse him. It always said they wanted to ask him questions so that they could accuse him. And so in Timothy, we're warned one of the signs of the last days is there will be false accusers. And in a concordance, when you break down the word false accusers, it refers to diabolos. Now, we all know a diabolos is a devil. So basically, a false accuser is someone who is being used by a devil, a demon, to slander, accuse, defame, unjustly criticize, and condemn others. They don't know it because they have a root of bitterness. I really believe it comes from root of bitterness, unforgiveness, offended, you know, things like that. Can't be mature in the things of the Lord. And so because you didn't handle it the right way, you go forth and then you unjustly criticize, defame, and condemn others. And so the question then becomes, at what point are we justified to speak evil against our brethren? Seriously, at what point are we justified to speak evil against anybody? If we talk evil of others, God compares us to brute beasts. We are taking on the nature of Satan. After all, he is the ultimate accuser of the brethren. So now we just, Satan, who is the father of all lies, he's the accuser of the brethren. He got his devils now working in human vessels down here to also accuse the brethren. So like I said, it's a two-edged sword. He's doing a double work down here. But somebody has got to be mature and stand up and say, you know, no. So in 2 Peter 10 and 12, we're told, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not. How many people speak evil of things that they understand not? You don't know what's going on in the background. You don't even know the situation, right? But they are speaking evil about stuff that they have no idea of what they're even talking about. And it says it shall utterly perish in their own corruption. So this is how serious this is, that if we're not careful with our tongue, which is an unruly member, the Bible says that we'll perish in our own corruption, speaking evil of things that we don't even know. You don't know. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know that what somebody had told. I still don't even know to this day if what was shared with me that night was true or not. But I went on and ran on with it and shared it with other people. And God had to deal with me. And he'll deal with you. And it's a blessing when he deal with you, because like it says, you want him to chastise you, because if he don't, then you're a bastard indeed. So you want to have that conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you want him to put his finger on, hey, no, don't do that. And then we have to be sensitive to his voice. So if it's a sin for us to speak against, you know, our fellow sister or brother in the Lord, then how much worse is it for us to speak against one of his minister servants? Are we called to speak evil against the ministers or the servants of God? You know, absolutely not. So think about the case of Miriam and Aaron. They both felt justified to speak evil against Moses, but God had a different response. See, we down here in the natural, we talk to each other like, girl, I don't know why they doing this or that. You know, we're just going off at the, popping off at the mouth. But in the spiritual, God is looking at that, and he has a different response. So with Miriam and Aaron talking against Moses in Numbers 12 and 8, God responded with him, I speak mouth to mouth directly, clearly, and openly, and not in riddles. That means God is saying, I have a clear, open relationship with Moses, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now, right now in 2020, we have so many people that don't fear the Lord. That's what it is. The fear of the Lord is not down here in a lot of people. They may say that they know the Lord. They may say that they're born again, but there is no fear of God down here. Because if you fear God, you will move very slow with what you say. You'll be very careful. You know, you'll be very careful. And you will choose your words wisely because you know that God hears everything and that every idle word will be judged and condemned. And that life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know, amen. So, like you said, why were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And it's interesting, you know, when I first got when I got saved, I'll probably say a year into being saved, I don't know if it was a dream or a vision, but I was sleeping, put it like that. But I saw my spirit going all the way up, you know, into the clouds, all the way up past the clouds, the regular clouds that we see, you know, here on earth. And it seemed like I was all the way up in the sky. And I saw these clouds. It was bigger, better than, you know, 5D, 3D, whatever they got down here, that perfect vision. It was better than that. And everything was trimmed in gold. And on each side of me were lines of doves, pure white doves, the purest white doves I could see, lined up on each side. And in front of me, the clouds formed a word that I had never seen before. So it's like I was suspended up in the air, these doves on each side of me, everything trimmed in gold, beautiful, you know, color. And in front of me, a word was written in like a, you know, handwriting, a beautiful handwriting. And it said, I'm omniscient, omnipotent, you know. So God was letting me know, I'm omniscient, I'm omnipotent. I know all things. I see all things, and I'm everywhere. Like the Bible tells us that his eyes search to and fro, beholding the good and evil. He sees everything, you know? And so when I had that dream or vision or whatever it was, that really turned a fire on in me. I hadn't been saved that long, but I knew that 1 John said that if I confess my faults to him, that he'll forgive me. So I said, well, let me confess everything to God because he already knows, because he's everywhere. And there is no need of hiding anything from him. And that's the same thing here, you know, with Miriam and Aaron, where they felt justified to speak evil against Moses. And he's asking them, why were you not afraid to speak against my servant? And, you know, God hears everything. So a quick clip from this article that I read says, it is written against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, 1 Timothy 5:19. So it is at our peril that we say or do anything against the servants of God, you know, that we're careful what we say. For he reckons those who touch them as touching the apple of his eye. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Now we are all anointed of God, right? And so of course we know, and we're all called to be ministers, servants of the Lord also. And so we don't want to speak evil of anybody, not even an elder. There's eldership in place. That's right. You know, the fivefold ministry is right. It only makes sense so that we can know the way. And then once we're equipped, then we can teach other people the way. It only makes sense to have a fivefold ministry. And we want to honor that office, whoever it is. And we don't want to bring forth an accusation, you know, or receive an accusation against an elder. But like it says, obey the Bible. Do it before two or three witnesses. If somebody is doing something, you know, do it the right way. So I will give another story. I had a friend, you know, we were friends for a while. She used to be a part of, you know, the ministry. And she would always come to me and complain about, you know, stuff that she thought was wrong. And it was so strategic because she would call me right after I get out of prayer or right before it's time for me to pray. She didn't know it. And she would come with all these accusations and stuff. And, you know, I'm trying to go on with the Lord and, you know, really be born again. And I'm like, I said, well, I was always optimistic. Well, maybe they didn't mean it that way. Or, you know, the Bible says sit down and talk to them and see what they say. And she would always, at first, you know what I am, I'm going to try to talk to them and let them know how I feel. But that thing kept ramming in her, that root of bitterness, that offense that she allowed to sit there that the devil normally brings in. And she just would not let it go. So it started to spring up and defile people. And for a little bit, she almost defiled me. But the difference between that is that I stayed in my word and I kept seeking the Lord. And I'm like, God, if anything or anybody is around me that's not right, show me. And if this person that keeps calling me to bring forth the accusation, then at that point, what do I say? So then it started being placed on my heart to tell her, well, you know what? Just fast and pray about it and see which way the Lord leads you. Then she started pulling back. Okay, so if it was a true concern, if it was truly something that she wanted help with, you know, or to talk about, then she would have done the right thing, what the Bible says. Either go talk to the elder that she felt like offended her, or fast and pray and ask the Lord to show you your heart. Because sometimes we take things way out of context and we take it the wrong way. And everything is not about you. I had to learn that. It's not about you. You are not the cat's meow. I had a lady tell me that at work, you know, where I work at, she used to work with me. And she'll tell people, you are not the cat's meow. You're not the, you know, the prima donna. You know, everybody got something they're supposed to be doing. And so you don't want to take offense to everything and think everything is about you. So anyway, when I started to tell her, you know, choose the more excellent thing. You know what she did? She stopped talking to me. Well, if you don't want to agree with me and you don't want to hear what I'm saying, then I'm going to cut it off. That's the last conversation we had. So God cut it at the door. Because I ain't running behind no hair, no gossiper. Because another thing is witches gossip. Understand what I'm saying? I ran across witches and they gossip about each other. You have two kinds of witches. You have a blind witch that don't know that they're doing the work of a witch. And then you have a witch that's a full-blown witch that goes to coven meetings at night. And they gossip. That's one of their signs. So when we see somebody like a Wendy Williams, every time I see her on TV, if I cut on the TV, I say, oh yeah, she a witch. No doubt about it. And so God separated that relationship and I ain't looked back. And I grew on further since then, you know? So that's how that works. But there are a lot of penalties of evil speaking, of us speaking evil of people. And, you know, the Bible gives plenty of scripture about it. So I just want to share some of those penalties. We know what the evil speaking is. We know the spirits that are associated with it. But now we want to know the penalties of it, right? You know, like I said, one penalty from my end is that I gave the devil a foothold, and then I had to go in and do self-deliverance. So the scripture tells us in 1 Peter 3:10, that evil speaking brings forth a life full of sorrowfulness and calamity. The Bible says, for the one who wants to enjoy life and see good days, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version, good, whether apparent or not, must keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from speaking guile, treachery, or deceit. So if we want to, you know, live long, we want to enjoy life, we want to see good days, and we want to do whatever God has called us to do while we're here in such a short time, then the Bible is clear, we must keep our tongue free from evil and our lips from speaking any guile. We have to be mature in the Lord. He's calling all of us to maturity. And, you know, nobody, you know, we're not going to be perfect, but we can be mature, you know, in Christ. In areas where we're not, we can bring it before him and say, look, I got a problem here. I need help. I can't fix it on my own. I'm way out of my scope. I done said before God and told him that about almost everything. Okay, you call me to be a mama, and I have two kids, and then my husband. I remember I cried with my second child and said, hey, I don't, you know, this is too much. But I put on my big girl panties and I did what I had to do. and it works out great, lovely, you know? So anything, you know, that we feel like that we need to free from or we need help with, we can seek him about it. So that's one penalty of evil speaking, is that it gives us a life of sorrowfulness and calamity. And then the Bible also tells us that a reviler will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians 6:10, the Amplified Version, says, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, and it has in quotations what a reviler is, whose words are used as weapons to abuse, insult, humiliate, intimidate, or slander, nor swindlers will inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. So God makes that clear. If you're a reviler and you're using your words as a weapon to abuse, to insult, humiliate, intimidate, or slander others, you will not have any share in the kingdom of God. Another verse, Psalms 140:11, it tells us that slanderers will not be established in the earth. So he says, do not let a slanderer be established in the earth. Let evil quickly hunt the violent man to overthrow him and stop his evil acts. And we want to be established to know and do whatever it is that God has, you know, called us to do. And so, you know, like I said earlier, our tongue, it is a unruly member. It is set on a course of hell, you know, and we truly have to we have to bridle our tongue. You know, a lot of us are, a lot of people are seeking for, you know, the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But what is your tongue like, though? You get what I'm saying? What are you speaking? Are you speaking words that edify others? Or are you going out here as a talebearer? A few other scriptures that really talk about that is Proverbs 20:19. And like I said, I can share this with you ladies offline, you know, if you need the scriptures. But he that goeth about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. So a talebearer is just another word for somebody that gossip. And like I did the group in the spirits earlier, gossiping is associated, of course, you know, with backbiting. So Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom, is letting us know the person that's a talebearer, a gossiper, they're going to reveal secrets. Don't tell them your secrets. Don't even meddle with them that flattereth with the lips. Flattery. That's another thing in another subject for a different day. The word Proverbs 11:12-13 tells us that he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. So with us being, you know, sisters in Christ and, you know, sisters and brothers in the Lord, if someone comes to us, they should be able to know and trust that we are the person that have a faithful spirit and we're going to conceal that matter. We are not going to go forth, you know, and act like the world, being messy, gossiping, you know, side smirking, laughing. Girl, did you hear? Did you see? You know, all of that. That is a part of that old man. And if it's still there, then we know that he's still alive and we got to go deeper to get rid of that flesh. And flesh will let you know when flesh is still on the scene. Just give it the perfect scenario or circumstance. It's going to rise up. Trust me. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Luke 6:45. So everything that we speak comes from our heart. So it's in your heart. So if you're somebody that is a backbiter, a gossiper, you know, a character assassinator, or a, you know, defamation, whatever your thing is that you do, that's in your heart. So now we have a heart issue. And so we definitely want to seek the Lord about that and ask him, like his word says, you know, to create in us a clean heart, you know, and to renew a right spirit in us. So if any of us realize that we are guilty of the sin of evil speaking, like I can tell you from my experience, what I had to do, and now I'm able to share it with others, it is important to confess to the Lord and repent. Don't let it linger around, because we're further allowing the enemy to have a foothold and a finger hold in our lives. And that door is open. And he will take advantage. How many, you know, he will take advantage of us. He's not, he don't play nice. He's not a gentleman. He's a brute beast, like the Bible says. So repentance allows us to have a clean slate before God. And then he's able to hear us. He hears those with a contrite heart and a broken spirit. When you realize something that you win, it's not to get offended or be like, well, you don't know what they did to me or what they said to me or how they handled me, or, you know, you don't know what they, you know, what this person said to me. It's always me, right? Me, me, me. That's that key word of flesh and self-life. Because like I said, it's not about you. It's about us as a body of the whole, doing what we're called to do in God, working together in the spirit of unity so that we can see Jesus come back and be crowned as king. But it's the little leaven that leavens the whole lump, you know, or like they say, it's a small, the small foxes. And that has to be driven out also, because we have to all be one together on one accord, and doing whatever it is that we're called to do in the Lord. And these are the things that will stop us from unifying in the body of Christ, being focused on ourselves, that self-life, you know, looking at ourselves or what this person did to me. If somebody offends you, talk to the Lord about it, and then go and talk to that person in the spirit of meekness. Not going and telling them, well, I just want you to notice that, you know, going off like you used to in the world, because we're not of the world. We're the body of Christ, and we have to do things in a more mature way. Seriously, have I been offended by some things that a Christian sister or brother has said to me? Yes. But I didn't go, you know, going off at the mouth. And it really takes the Holy Spirit to tell us no, you know, to hear that inner. You hear him when he's telling you, don't say that. You know, don't listen to that. Don't go there. We hear it. But now I'm telling you, it's that old man, that flesh is like, well, you know what? I'm just going to go on anyway. Now I'm going to go over here and see what they're talking about anyway. He'll tell you, don't go to that social media page. You know those people over there talking crazy. Well, I'm just going to go see what they're saying anyway, just so I can be aware. Because I'm guilty of this. I've done it. So I can be aware and go back and, you know, say this or say that. But then it defiles your spirit. He's telling you, that's why he told you not to go. So that root of bitterness will spring up in you and start to defile you. And we don't know that it's defiling us, but it is. And it comes up at the most inopportune time. You know, the devil will bring it back. Remember what this person said or that said? And now we're focusing on people who are imperfect anyway. No, none of us are. We're not Jesus. You know, we're focusing on people, the vessel, instead of the spirit, you know. So, you know, Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. We got to believe in him and conform to his example of living. Deny ourselves daily by laying aside evil speaking as commanded. So we were commanded in 1 Peter 2:1 to lay aside evil speaking. And that's going to come with us really taking up our cross and following Jesus daily and conforming to his example. You know, we got to really deny ourselves that, because our tongue is an unruly member. And we're used to going off at the tongue or being loose at the lips. And now it's really temperance and self-control. We got to learn, Lord, teach me how to keep my tongue. Because I tell y'all, I had family over the weekend. I shared this with, you know, Melanie and Naima. I had family over this past weekend in my house for Mother's Day. And next thing I knew, see, I'm thinking that I'm somewhere else. I got it. Oh, yeah, Lord, I'm going on with you. And next thing I see me, I'm going off on a family member. Now, flesh is still somewhere there. And you know what I told myself after I did that? First of all, you got some people around that's not saved, and you supposed to be the one that's born again and mature. They looking at you like you crazy. So now everybody crazy. That means I got to go back to my prayer closet, back to fasting and prayer, and dying some more. Because the devil is going to send people your way to push your buttons. He will. He really will. And you feel like, Lord, get, you know. But our battle is not against flesh and blood. And I tell you, the minute that we forget that our battle is not against flesh and blood, then we lose the war. We lost the war because we're battling against another person. And there's always a spiritual force that's using that person as a vessel. So we don't pray against the person that's assassinating us or, you know, whatever they're doing to irritate us. We pray against that spirit behind them. And that's why, you know, God calls us to be a deliverer and to have discernment so you can discern what spirit is this person of. So I can go and bind this devil that's using this human vessel to come forth and get on my last nerve, because that's what they want to do, okay? And they want to open up a door to get you all crazy with them. And so he's still working on me in that area. So when someone brings evil speaking your way, just lay it aside. You know, don't let it pass your vessel. Do not allow it to go past your vessel. I've had people, you know, recently say, I talked to an old friend for New Year's Day, and she said, I just told her Happy New Year's. Then all of a sudden she said, well, girl, how you talk to such and such? You know she out here doing this, that, and the other. And I said, oh, Lord, and this was after God had already dealt with me about evil speaking. So, you know, I'm on eggshells. So I told her, well, you know, everybody got, you know, the thing that they doing. I don't know what it was, but I laid it aside. I ain't share it with nobody else because I ain't trying to get back, you know, caught up where I feel that separation between me and God. So, I mean, it's very serious, and the Holy Spirit, he will show you. So we want to speak only good and edifying words to minister grace to those around us. You know, Colossians 4:6 tells us to let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant, seasoned with salt. You know, who wants food without salt? I know, I'm going to be honest, I don't. I need some Lord seasoned salt, some sea salt, some cayenne pepper, some something. But I don't want, you know, season it with salt, you know. Truly be a blessing to other people, edify other people, speak good and edifying words, and minister grace to those around you. If somebody call you with something that they going through, it's not for you to go share with other people, but begin to pray for them and ask them, is it okay if I pray for you? And a lot of people will tell you, yeah. Well, pray for them right there on the phone, because a lot of people need prayer. And then that's going to stop you from going forth to spread it, because God's going to look at you like, well, why are you a hypocrite on the phone with this person praying for them and then getting off the phone and telling my girl, let me tell you. But no, leave it there, pray for it, and then pray for them, you know, in your own private time, and that's it. You know, and so we got to get real mature about that. Beware and refrain from the idle mind. I'm telling you, that's a lot of things that got me caught up. An idle mind, idleness leads typically to evil speaking. What I mean is most prolonged conversations can lead to ungodliness and gossip. Now we already, let's say a phone conversation, because this has happened with me plenty of times. We already talked about what we called each other about. You know what I'm saying? Like we already talked about it. We already talked about, you know, what the phone call was about. We already connected. We got to the point of what we're going to do. Okay, we're going to do this, go here and there. But now you're still hanging on the phone. Those conversations always lead somehow to evil speaking. Because now, well, girl, hey, you talk to such and such. Well, yeah, I heard that, you know, it started out like that. And then say, you know, you're way over here in left field. And you're trying to figure, well, how are you way over here? And you know, if you're spiritual, you got to repent. And, oh, Lord, I should never say this or that. That's because idleness. Hey, we done already talked. You good, I'm good, everything all right. When you feel that in you is just like, you know, we need to just go on and end the conversation. Then end the conversation. you got to keep, you know, there's nothing else to just keep talking about because that leads to that idleness. And so 1 Timothy 5:13 tells us, now at the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, meddlers and things that do not concern them, talking about things they should not mention. And that's what he's saying, you know, you're idle. You know, he's talking about the women there in 1 Timothy 5:13, they're idle. They go from house to house. Keep your feet in your own house and stay out of people's business is really what he's saying. Stay out of people's business and not their house. And, you know, then you end up gossiping and now you're a busybody. Now you're meddling in the things that shouldn't concern you. You don't know what people got going on, you know? And then you're saying things that you shouldn't mention, but you don't know if it's true or not. And that's what he's telling us there in 1 Timothy 5:13. So, you know, some of the prayer points that I always ask God here is I ask the Lord to set a guard over your mouth and to keep watch over the doors of your lips. Psalm 141:3, you know, and let me pull that scripture up here. And I think that's exactly what it says, but you know, a lot of the Psalms, you can pray them. And that's what it's there for. Anything in a scripture, you can pray it. And you're praying it according to God's will. But Psalm 141:3 says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips to keep me from speaking thoughtlessly. That's the Amplified version. So that's something that we want to, you know, begin to pray over ourselves if we deal with this issue. Pray to have a clean heart and a right spirit when renewed in you. So we all know that scripture, Psalm 51:10-19. That's a good prayer to pray. I used to pray that every morning, you know, just asking God to search my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. And if there is, reveal it to me. And I'll be sure to repent, you know, and ask him to create in you and give you a clean heart. And Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. And that's something that we definitely want to pray. You know, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. You know, like the old school song used to say, order my steps in your word. I think she even said, order my tongue in your word. You know, you want everything to be ordered in the word of God so you don't go off track and you're not snared by the devil. And so we're commanded again to refrain from evil speaking, and instead we should speak only edifying words that will minister grace to the hearers. So like I said earlier, if any of us are guilty of these sins, then we are to repent and turn away and just lay aside all evil speaking. Just lay it aside. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's truly worth it, especially when we know that a reviler, somebody that's just speaking evil of others, won't make it into the kingdom of God. Now, that's one thing, if you're sharing information, truly to pray, and you know, your intent, but truly God knows the intent and the motives of our heart. He looks at our heart. If there is something that's going on that we need to pray about with somebody, that's different, you know? But under the guise of prayer, some people would say, girl, we need to pray, because let me tell you about, and then it goes on from there. Now, you know, that you ain't asking for prayer. Now, that was just a door opener. You know, you try to spiritualize it to truly go in and be messy, like I call it in the world. And so we didn't like mess in the world. And so we shouldn't like it in the body of Christ. And we should not want to see anybody slandering our sisters and brothers. When one person is affected, we're all affected, you know? And so we are all called to be intercessors and pray for one another. We really all need prayer. We do. Because we don't know what each other is going through. And so in our quiet time, begin to pray for people. You see somebody going off the deep end. I mean, I say social media because that's where people put all their business right now for some reason. Then you see somebody going crazy on social media, you know, just note it and pray for them. Because they probably are, they crazy, you know. They done been offended, they got church hurt, they got a root of bitterness, and now it's just crazy. You know, it goes off the deep end. And so we want to be careful with that. So that's what I wanted to share today from that testimony and just the teaching that God gave me. Like I said, the word of God is truly like a two-edged sword, because it cut me first, and then he had to come in and heal me and teach me so that I can go out and then share it with others. You know, it's almost like taking that plank out of your own eye before you can even see, to try to take the plank out of the eyes of your sister or your brother. And so we really, you know, have to be mindful and careful. And I think it'll bless most of us when we begin to lay that aside, especially when we see the penalties of walking in that grave sin. And if we truly fear the Lord, we're not going to do anything to grieve his Holy Spirit. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and used by his Spirit. And so that's all I wanted to share. I have one last thing. Amen, Yvette. That's true. First partakers. That's right. So I have one last thing that I wanted to share. And it's about what we always hear, the mental ascension. You know, you can mentally ascend to being born again and being a Christian. And this has been on my mind lately. And it's a concern that a lot of people name the name of Christ, but they are not truly born again. You get what I'm saying? And so I just want to give an example of, again, I always put myself out there, something that happened to me that I mentally ascended, but thank God for his grace and mercy. So at the job that I'm at now, years ago when I started, I had just got saved. I was probably saved probably for a year. And they sent this guy to me and they said, this is your boss, you know, and you're going to be working for him. And he's a young, handsome guy, you know, like me. All the ladies at the job like him. Very flirtatious and things like that. And so anyway, while we're working together, he kept trying to flirt with me all the time, y'all, for months. And I would push him away, and I'm like, I'm not interested in you. I'm married, and I'm a Christian. You know, I was saying all those words, those cliche words that we say with being a Christian. And I was, but I was a babe in Christ. And the devil, I really believe the devil sent him to try to snuff me off. Well, anyway, I learned early on in my walk with God to have a prayer closet and always pray. So I was praying every morning before I went to work. I mean, I would run. I would lose sleep to pray and read my word. You know, I had a hunger for the things of God. And one morning, first I told my husband some weeks before, I said, you know, the boss of my job is kind of getting, you know, kind of overbearing, and I'm not liking it. And he was like, well, you know, it'll work out. It'll be okay. Just kind of stay away from him. But I was sitting right next to him, and we worked directly together. So one morning I went before God and I prayed, and I told God my concern. And I think either it was that same day or the next day, my job had layoffs. Now, he was walking around and he said, oh, no, I ain't going to get laid off. You know, everybody else will get laid off, but I'm good. And they start sending out emails for people to get laid off. And guess what? He got laid off. Now, the thing that I'm comparing is to mentally ascending, because we can think that we're somewhere that we're not. When he got laid off, he bothered me all that time. God answered my prayer. You know, he got the God out the way. He bothered me all that time. But when the dude got laid off, I felt some type of way towards the people at my job and wanted to cry, because I felt like, you know, y'all shouldn't do him like that. Now, does that make sense? No. If I'm complaining saying that this dude is bothering me, I don't want him and I'm not interested in him, and I'm telling my husband. But the thing is, I was very sincere about seeking God. In my mind, I may have wanted to not be interested in this guy, but that's just mental ascension, if you get it. You get what I'm saying? I thought I was somewhere else, mature, not interested in him. Oh, he make me sick type of deal. But then I'm crying when you get laid off. And God showed me, you'll think that you're somewhere that you're not. you're not there. So accept the place where you at and allow God to work on you right from there. Don't try to mentally ascend to anything. Get rid of that fantasy-stricken mind. I'm serious. Because your mind will be so caught up in fantasy, and you'll think, I got it. I'm here. You know, I'm flying high, and you're not. And he'll bring you back down to reality to show you. And I believe that's what he did with that. So I just wanted to share that with you all. You know, truly just wherever you at in the Lord, be right there. You don't have to, you know, what they tell you in the world, fake it till you make it. You don't have to mentally ascend to anything. Allow God to work on you right where you at and mature you to where he wants you to be. And allow him to use you where you at. Don't try to go over the top and overboard. Trust me, when you go through higher levels, there are higher level devils. And I know. So allow God to mature. You know, we all have to be matured in the faith, especially in these last days. And I think that's what he's doing, especially during this time while we're at home. And he's going to continue to do it. But we have to stay with him. Don't give up. Don't doubt. And don't let nobody pull you from up under the wing of the Lord. That's where your shelter is. They want you to be from up under authority, up under the wing of the Lord, out there looking crazy with no covering. And then you are easy prey and a target for the devil. We have to operate under proper command authority to wage warfare against the devil. If we're out of order, we can't wage war against the devil. And so order, divine order, authority, truly being obedient, that's important, especially if you're going to be a warrior for the Lord. You have got to be able to wage war against that devil, you know, and it can only be done in proper order and authority. And so I just want to thank you ladies for joining. I love you all. I know the prayer line is starting up in about 10 minutes. And, you know, thanks for allowing me to just share this information with you all. Hopefully it's a blessing to you ladies. And I'll close out in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you that we were able to get together, Lord, and feed on your word. And I pray, Father, that something was said, Lord God, that may prick the hearts of the hearers, Father God. And I also pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll begin to just continue to show us as we sit before you, Father God, as we seek you, Lord God, as we want to be drawn in a more intimate relationship with you, Heavenly Father. Show us anything, Lord God, that's in us, Lord God, that's not like you. And begin, Lord, to do a quick work in our lives, Lord God. Any root of bitterness, Lord God, that's in us, reveal it to us. Anywhere, Lord God, where we are offended, Lord, show us. And help us to be mature about it, Lord God, and handle it the way that your word says. We want to be one in a body. We want to be unified through your Holy Spirit. We want to be one in Christ Jesus, Lord. And so we're asking you, Father God, to mature us in the faith and draw us in closer, Lord. Give everybody on this study a deeper hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Father God, give us a more deeper intimacy with you, Lord. And God, we just will give you the praise, glory, and honor for it, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
It was a nice study. Thank you.
Awesome sauce, 10.